I'm going to be talking about deception this morning. I'm going to ask some more questions in just a little bit. Second Timothy 3, verse 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Matthew 24, verse 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." This morning, we're not exempt from deception. How many of you have ever been deceived? Probably all of us have been deceived about something sometime or another, and not necessarily about Bible doctrine, but even when somebody writes you a bad check and you don't find out till you take that check in to get the funds that it's written for, and you find out it was a lie, think about how it makes you feel. We don't like to be deceived. Have you ever deceived anyone yourself? I'm sorry to say, I have to admit I have. We probably all have done that as well. The world is full of deceit. Revelation 18, it talks about all the nations being deceived by the sorcery of Babylon, that great wicked city that God was destroying. And I believe we live in that era of time. The world is very deceitful, and the devil is using many things and many ways to deceive us. I'm fearful for ourselves that we would not be deceived. I have a subtitle for this message: Lies We Believe and Why We Believe Them. And I want to talk just about a few basic lies we tend to believe sometimes. And then we want to look a little bit more into why we believe lies, and maybe a little bit how we can avoid believing lies. So basically, I think we all understand what deception is, but just a basic definition is that it is believing as true something that is false. And that becomes very, very important when it comes to spiritual things, because it's a lie about eternity and about eternal things and about our eternal destiny. And it's important that we do not become led astray. First Timothy 2:14 says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." And I've had a little struggle with that verse. Try to understand, why was it so bad for her to be deceived? Why was that? It almost seemed like Paul's saying that was worse than knowing it was wrong to do this and doing it anyway. Well, let's just look a little bit in Genesis and see what happened there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And we know what happened. But I want to think about what Eve believed. So So she made a choice here to believe that God was not good, didn't she? She made a choice to believe what Satan said was true. The seriousness of deception is that fact that we no longer believe God. Unbelief. One of the lies we're led to believe today is that the world's ways lead to happiness. And this includes a host of things. There's no way I can talk about all the lies in the world this morning. And the best way to reveal a counterfeit is to know the genuine is what we are told. It's the solution. And I believe that's true. But I do want to talk about some of these lies because I do believe we have a problem sometimes. The world's ways lead to happiness. You know, would you change your mind about God's goodness if our conditions changed? You know, we live in an unprecedented time. Christianity has not experienced such an easy life probably any time in history before now. And we today in this country have a much easier life than many, many other countries do. And I believe that in itself has a way of lulling us to sleep, and we become deceived. We believe we deserve to live like we live. We deserve this air conditioning in this building. We deserve these comfortable seats, and we deserve you name it. And God isn't good if he don't give us those things. That's a lie. We must not believe. The world would have us believe that life comes from living. Life comes from living. Did you ever hear that? Well, that's really living. That's just really living to do this or that or whatever wonderful experience that they're pursuing. It might be some extreme sport. It might, you know, they might be skydiving or bungee jumping. And I'm not saying it's necessarily sin to do those things, but it's not living, okay? It's not what living is all about. This is what the Bible says. Romans 8:13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." If you do what feels good, it says that's not living, that's death. "But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." That means if you restrain yourself from doing the things that your flesh wants you to do, that's living. That's living. Matthew 16:25, Jesus said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." You know those people in Hebrews 11 that are listed there in the heroes of faith? It tells how they lived and they died in such terrible circumstances. They were sawn asunder. I can't even imagine what all that looks like. I sawed a possum in half one time with the chainsaw. I didn't do it on purpose. It was inside a hollow tree. And it was a terrible, gory experience. Imagine being sawed in half alive. Would you believe God was good if you were subjected to something that horrible? Maybe they had their limbs chopped off one at a time, and that actually happens in some places and has happened in the past. Life doesn't come from living the wild life. It comes from dying to the flesh. Right along on the heels of that, we have discontentment. Murmuring and complaining and not being happy with the lot God has called you to. Let's read some verses from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 6, and we'll read through verse 8. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." are you content with food and raiment? I have to ask myself that question. Am I content with the bare, what I would consider the bare necessities? Could I be content with that? Yeah, I'm willing to be content with that. I can say that. But would I still be content if that were all, everything else was stripped away from me? Would I still be content? Would I still be happy in the Lord, and would I still say God is good? Like Job did when he experienced that. Job had his family taken away from him. You know, I had to think this morning when we were talking about Esther, what would we as conservative Mennonites do if all of a sudden, and I looked at that and I thought, you know, that's similar to the draft. They just come along and they said, you have to go and you have to go. It was all on this side. That'd be pretty horrible. I couldn't imagine President Biden sending out a group of people to draft my daughters into this. Well, what would we do? We'd probably try to lobby with Washington. We'd try to say, is there some alternative we can, you know, can we have some alternative service or something for them? But I was impressed with the faith of Mordecai and the faith of Esther. They believed that God was in control, even though she was taken into this foreign king's harem. Sometimes I wonder if we try to avoid difficult things too much. God loves to take those difficult circumstances and turn them into something for his honor and his glory, something that only he can do and we can't imagine. Faith isn't knowing what's going to happen as these things unfold. It's doing what's right and placing ourselves in the hand of God and believing that he will take care of us. Another lie that's very prevalent that the world is very influential in our lives with, and that is, what I have is insufficient. We're not content. And we're talking about contentment. What I have is insufficient. That's what advertising industry is all about. They tell you that you need something else. I need something more. And we'll talk about that just a little bit more in a little bit. The circumstances I face are unjust or unfair. All those things are lies that Satan would like us to believe. Philippians 4:11 is Paul's testimony. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Can you say that? Can you say that in whatsoever state I am, I have learned therewith to be content? I have to admit that I need to grow. I am still growing in this area. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to stir your minds and inspire you. Number three, covetousness, which is basically discontentment as well. Let's continue reading here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Covetousness. Wanting something that is not mine. Wanting more than I already have. The idea that I need things that I don't have. I'm surviving without them now, but I do need them. Makes me think of a song we sing sometimes. It's called, it is Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. Do you believe that? That's another question I'd like to ask you this morning. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is all you need? I believe we have a warped concept of needs, what we need. One definition I read of an addiction had something to do with, I don't know if I have it exactly right, but it's something like this, that it's believing that you need something that is not essential for your life. And think about it. That's exactly what addictions are. I have to have this. I have to have another fix. No matter what it is, it might be a fix from riding the Ferris wheel or the whatever it is that gives you some high. It don't have to be drugs and alcohol and all that. All kinds of things are addictive. Many things. Okay, another lie. This goes closely with the idea that God is good, and that's unthankfulness. Let's turn to Romans 1. I believe that unthankfulness is probably the beginning of all departure from God, or is very close to it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, oh yeah, that was somebody. That surely wouldn't be us, would it? That's somebody else. Somebody way out there. But if you study this chapter closely, it talks about these people knew who God was. And this verse says that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So that makes us responsible. And that this verse applies to us. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? When we're constantly looking for more and thinking we need more than we have, it's hard to be thankful. It's difficult to be thankful. Right, going on in this chapter, we find another lie in verses 22 through 25, Romans 1, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And I'm going to suggest here this morning that this idea of worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator applies to my self-worship that so often we believe that I am God. The lie that I am God. I deserve whatever it is. Satan would have us believe that lie. The results of this belief, or believing this lie, we find in Romans 1:28. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. How close do we come to this? You know, we would say, oh, we don't do all these things. Well, maybe we don't do all of them, but do we do one of them? Are we disobedient to our parents? That comes pretty close to home. The idea that I am God and that I can do what I want to do, the individualistic mindset, it all stems from pride. Pride, that is the sin that we might say originated with the devil. So on that extreme, we believe we are God and that we deserve what we want. Now I want to look at the lie on the other extreme, that I'm worthless. I'm nobody. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Who am I? And, you know, we just wring our hands because nobody pays me any attention and nobody listens to me. I'm all alone. We feel sorry for ourselves. Oh, I've done that myself. I believe that lie. But I'm here to tell you this morning that lie is not true. That is a lie. Let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the truth. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You are, and I am worth very much to someone. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You are not alone. Someone does care about you, and someone does understand you and loves you and listens to you. God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that this morning? If you believe you're here all by yourself and nobody understands you and you've been mistreated and everything's wrong, that's a lie. God knows you, he loves you, he understands you, and he cares about you. And he wants to lead you to believe the truth. He wants what's good for you. Well, now, a little bit about why we believe these lies. And the big word to me is unbelief. It's a lack of faith. John 8, 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we believe the truth, we won't believe lies, will we? We believe lies because we either do not know the truth or we do not believe the truth, either one. But if you do not know the truth, you can know it if you want to. Just read this word right here, this book. This book contains the truth. And the truth is not just this book and just these words in this book. The truth is Jesus Christ himself. We believe lies because we want to believe them sometimes. We want to believe lies. Why would you want to believe a lie? Well, because it's attractive to our flesh. Some people would make it seem that if we are deceived, we're not accountable anymore because we were ignorant of the truth. Well, that's not what Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read these verses quickly here. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved into fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, God has been patient. God has been merciful, not because he's slack, but because he loves the souls of men and he wants them to find him. He is giving us opportunity to know the truth. Now, I'd like to gather a few thoughts from John 14, Gospel of John chapter 14. Let's read verses 1 through 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'd like to concentrate our thoughts on Thomas and Philip here, and the questions they asked Jesus, and the way that they did not recognize the truth. Here it says in verse 5, it says, Thomas asked Jesus this question. Jesus just got in telling him that he was going to go away, and that he was going to receive them and bring them to himself in the future. And he told them, you know the way. You know where I'm going, and you know the way. And Thomas said, what are you talking about? We don't know how to go where you're going. We don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. Thomas knew the truth, but he didn't recognize it for the truth. Sometimes we can be the same way. We can know the truth, but we don't give it its proper credentials. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was the way to get to heaven. He was the way to get to God. He is still that way. Do you believe that this morning? What we say, what I say here this morning is not proof of what I believe. It's what I do when I walk out those doors. It's what I do. It's what I say when I hit my thumb with the hammer, or when I face the difficulties I face in life. It's the things that I do then that indicate whether I believe what I say. Let's look at verse 8 now. Philip also had a difficulty believing the truth and understanding the truth. Jesus had said that if you know me, you know my Father. In fact, he told them that they had seen his Father. And Philip said, yeah, show us your Father, and that'll be good enough for me. Well, Jesus had been showing him his Father his whole time with him. Jesus was the mirror image of his Father. That's what Jesus was saying. I am doing what my Father tells me to do, and that is all I'm promoting. Everything that Jesus said was told to him from his Father. And everything that Jesus did was in obedience to his Father. The things that happen to you, the things that happened to me? Are the things that Jesus has brought in, allowed to come into our life sometimes, maybe he brings some of them, but even bad things that happen, and he's saying, show the world my Father. Show me to the world. That's what Jesus is saying. You're in this terrible situation. I don't care how bad it is. Maybe your parents mistreat you. Hopefully not. I mean, not in this setting, but maybe not everybody comes from that kind of a setting. You know, I can only imagine various scenarios. It doesn't matter what it is. Jesus wants you to reflect himself. Jesus wants you to show others what his Father wanted him to show us. What is the solution this morning to being deceived, to maintain freedom from deception? Until we believe the truth to be the truth, we are deceived. And simply, when we know the truth and believe the truth, we will live the truth and we cannot be deceived. The truth is the answer, and we don't need to know the lies. We don't need to identify all the lies. We just need to know the truth and believe it. The only way to be deceived is to not believe the truth. That's unbelief. And that so often happened in the history of Israel, and that so often happens in the history of mankind, in the history of my short life. I fail to believe the truth. And because I fail to concentrate on finding the truth and reading the word and asking it, we just read those verses and it said that ask in my name. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said that twice right there. And if we want to know, we can ask Jesus to show us, ask God to show us the truth. So many times in this life, we become confused. We become mixed up. I'm going to just turn to James and read a verse there if I can find it. It tells us where confusion comes from. I'm going to read several verses. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Notice that. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So very often, I believe, when we're confused, it's because there's envy and strife in our life. Somehow, we have to cleanse our life from all of that and get that confusion taken care of. And then we can know the truth. And then we can experience the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So this morning, let's believe the truth. Let's live the truth. Let's continue to believe that God is good. Let's believe that God is in control. And that these difficult things, bad things if you will call them that, are only opportunities for us to show that we believe. That we believe that God is good and that he will bring good out of bad. Good is stronger than bad. May God help you as you live in this community to reflect the light of the gospel and the truth, because we are to be the light of the world. We are to be the ones to show this truth to the deceived around us. We're not supposed to be the deceived, and we claim that we're not, but let's keep it that way. And we're not going to keep it that way unless we dig deep in the Word of God. And if we're familiar with the Word of God, every circumstance that we face in life, we can know the truth. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus and for the truth and for the way, the truth, and the life that he is. We just pray that you would give us strength and power and illumination from your word, that we might make right choices in life and that we would avoid the deception of Satan. We would not be led astray. We would not be led into heresy and into false doctrine. Give us wisdom as we face the age that we live in, this age of information, mass information. Much of it is deceptive. And Lord, help us to be able to discern truth from untruth. And may your kingdom continue to grow and flourish in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation. We pray in Jesus' name.